This is the Good Old Days of Radio show. This is John Tefteller, your host, and it's Tuesday, and on Tuesday we normally, and will for a while, do comedy. We have an episode of the Henry Morgan Show for you today. We've done a lot of Henry Morgan on this show over the last couple of years, and the reason we do Henry Morgan is because he's one of those unsung heroes of comedy that was very popular for a very short period of time back in the 40s, but they did some very interesting humor that kind of lives on and is timeless and really deserves a second look. As I say, he never became as popular as Jack Benny or Fred Allen or any of the big comedians, but he certainly was good at especially satire. He stayed on for a long time after the 40s as a guest on various panel shows, What's My Line and different things, into the early 80s, I believe. And he was living in Canada at the time, hiding out from an ex-wife. And then he would sneak down to New York and do some television shows and then fly back up to Canada before he got caught. Anyway, that's the history of Henry Morgan in 30 seconds. This particular show is September 9th, 1946, from ABC Network. And here we go.
Following is transcribed.
True, I'm not pretty. Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan.
ABC presents Henry Morgan in a new program featuring Bernie Green and his orchestra and a few mistakes. And here he is, the star of our show, Henry...
Aldridge.
Aldridge.
Ford.
Ford.
Morgan, you dope.
Henry Morgan.
Ladies and gentlemen, here are the results of last week's program, which was the first in a series of one. Now, tonight we bring you the first in the second series of one. Next week we'll have the third in the first series of two. And the week following that, we're going to have the fourth in the first series of four, or we're going to have the third in the... of course, if the Dodgers win tomorrow, it makes... Well, we only have 28 more minutes to go. Now for the results. That's a radio-type joke of last week's joke. Show. A woman in Perth Amboy, after listening, wrote,
"Dear Mr. Morgan, I heard your broadcast. Frankly, why don't you have it on earlier if it's going to be so scary?"
The shortwave broadcast was heard by a gentleman in Moscow who wrote,
"How do you spell that name?"
Oh, but offers have been pouring in. Life magazine wants to send a photographer around to take pictures of the cast for their other publication, Death. I tell you one thing in confidence about the jokes on this show. The other joke shows aren't on the air yet, so I don't have anybody to steal from. But now that I have my own comedy program, I have to look the part. So I'm going to have my head shaved for a toupee. And I'm going to get a brother-in-law and a mother-in-law and an announcer who giggles and a closet with a lot of loose stuff in it. And I'm going to have a feud. Feuds are good. Like the one between Benny and Alan, I'm going to get into that one. On Alan's side. If that doesn't work, I'll start a feud with Toscanini. That would be fun, you know. You might not think so, but I can insult him Tuesday. Saturday, he can get back at me with, boom, 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 thing. It's a weird joke, isn't it? Well, he'd have me there. I could have...
Mr. Morgan.
Yes.
There's a gentleman here to see you. This is Mr. W.W. Krubisch.
Oh, how do you do?
Mr. Morgan, I represent the editors of Bulb, the 15-cent radio magazine that lights up.
Oh. Well, what is your job?
I'm a tube feeler.
Tube feeler?
Yeah. When your radio goes dead, I reach around in the back of the set and fill the tubes.
And?
If I get a cold one, it comes out. If I get a hot one, I go out.
I see. Well, what did you want to see me about?
On behalf of the editors of Bulb, the 15-cent radio magazine that lights up, I would like to present you with this scroll, which Bulb, the 15-cent radio magazine that lights up, gives to the program which it deems the most consecutive in the opinion of Bulb, the 15-cent radio magazine that lights up. And here you are, sir.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. But tell me, why does it say on the scroll, to Harry Horlick's A&P Gypsies, 1928?
Yeah. Wasn't that a great show?
As you know, this program... You can ignore the entire thing, if you like. This program is presented as a public service, and in the public service, we present...
Vital issues which confront you and me. You and I.
Oh. This past week, many problems have arisen which puzzle the man on the street. But one major question is on everybody's lips.
The question of the week.
What?
Thank you.
Now for the music. We were going to get the Andrews sisters, but the one who goes ta-da-da-da-da-dee-da-dee isn't speaking to the one who goes do-wee-do-wee-do-wee-do-wee. So instead we have Frank Novak. Where the commercial goes. We change products every week because it keeps the actors awake. Tonight, we're peddling vitamins.
Do you have a lazy stomach? A sluggish liver? An idle gland? Give them all a nudge. Get one-a-minute vitamins. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, one-a-minute vitamins are the vitamin pills you take only before, after, during, and in between meals. And they're so easy to take. Just pop one in your mouth. Wait 1 minute. Now, pop another one in your mouth. Do this every minute, every day. You'll agree you were never more active in your life. Here is what one satisfied customer has to say. Mr. Fadang, how long have you been taking one-a-minute vitamin pills?
2 years.
Tell me, have you noticed any change in your body?
Yes, sir, I have.
And what is that?
I grew a third arm.
And it's helped you, of course?
Oh, yes. Now when I take a bath, it's quicker.
Splendid.
When I take my girl riding, I can drive with two hands and still get a slap in the face.
I see.
I'm very popular with people who have poison ivy.
Naturally. Tell us, Mr. Fadang, what is your work?
I'm a typist.
Wonderful. Now that you have three hands, you work that much faster?
Oh, no.
How come?
I only use two fingers.
We don't need the applause. We let it lie around. As another public service, we present... The March of Science. The March of Science, a tribute to the great scientific discoveries which have benefited mankind. Tonight, we turn our attention to the discovery of air. Air, from the Latin, meaning nothing. Air, without it, smoke would lie around on the sidewalks. Air, without it, butterflies would be forced to walk. Look down a shaft. Put your head in a tunnel. Stick your finger in a room. What do you find? Air. In your homes, on the streets, over the world, air. It's in the air. And yet... Who first discovered it? Who accidentally came upon this elusive, invisible thing? The year is 1600. The city is Leipzig. In his tiny but uncomfortable laboratory, a scientist is at work.
5 years I'm working on this. Maybe today is today when I discover the discovery. Now I put in a little potassium permanganate. Now I put in a little tetrahydrochloric oxide. Now I put in a little bit of this red stuff in this bottle here. Well, I use the blue stuff, same thing.
Still not so good like Dr. Pepper.
a failure. I throw it out the window.
Tired, discouraged, but weary, the scientist trudges over to the window. He opens it. And then it comes to him.
What is... Could that be... It's maybe the... What else? Emily!
Papa Snow came and Papa Snow.
Emily, give her smell.
Emil, at last you have done it. Ach, Emil.
Yes, Emily. At last I've discovered it. I will call this air after my best friend, Sigmund.
Ach, Emil, it's wonderful. Leave open the window.
Yeah.
Once discovered, the uses of air were limitless. In America, a man took a donut and blew it up with air.
Gee, that's pretty good, Mr. Firestone.
The United States Navy discovered one advantage of air. With a trick formation of the lips, a sailor could approach his target. Here tonight is Professor Damrosch Pitkin of the Massachusetts Institution. Professor Pitkin, how does science feel about air?
Science is in favor of air.
Can a person live without air?
Well, we conducted experiments.
No. Oh. How was this done?
We observed a citizen who got on a train at Times Square.
I see.
As he entered the train, he took a deep breath. Train went to 108.
Did he live?
No. 7 hours later, when he came out, he said,
"Hey, Mac, give me a taxi, will you? I'm dead."
Still another experiment concerned.
Professor, we haven't much time. Could you sum up? What does the future hold?
Oh, I predict an air famine.
You mean all the air is being used up?
Yes.
According to science, where does it go?
I don't know. It just vanishes into thin air.
Science marches on.
Another experiment concerns...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, shall we dance? An electrical transcription coming on.
Twenty years ago, a number of brothers made a motion picture, and it talked. Today, we bring you movies at their peak.
Bogart and Bacall. Bogart and Bacall. Bogart and Bacall. Brahma Seltzer, Brahma Seltzer, Brahma Seltzer, Bogart and Bacall.
Yes, they're together again. In a picture the world dared them to make. The picture they dare the world to see. You'll thrill, as he says. And she says. And he says. And she says. Drama, excitement, love. Don't miss this thrilling, action-packed, two-fisted, slam-bang, Sharko picture.
See you today at Lowy's. A popular price. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Mariners Quartet.
Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm he had a cow,
E-I-E-I-O.
With a moo-moo here and a moo-moo there, here a moo-moo there, everywhere moo-moo. Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
Now old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm he had a cow,
E-I-E-I-O.
With a quack quack here and a quack quack there, here a quack there, quack everywhere, quack quack,
moo moo here and a moo moo there, here moo there, moo everywhere, moo moo. Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O. Now old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm he had a dog,
E-I-E-I-O.
With a wolf wolf here, a wolf wolf there, here a wolf there, wolf everywhere, wolf wolf, quack quack here and a quack quack there, here a quack there, quack everywhere, quack quack,
moo moo here and a moo moo there, here moo there, moo everywhere, moo moo. Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O. A sensationally gorgeous wife. It was give me a diamond ring here, a mink coat there. It was here gimme, there gimme, everywhere gimme, gimme.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
And the cows went moo, moo, moo. And the ducks went quack, quack. And we all had a good time.
In the public interest, we bring you that delightful new quiz show, Take It for Goodness Sake, Take It.
And here he is, the man with a question mark for a birthmark, your host and master of ceremonies, Hank Quiz King Morgan.
Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now for a few funny jokes to start the show. My hotel room is so small that if I push the key too far in the keyhole, it breaks the window. Next joke. The waiters are so slow that when you order breakfast, the waiter comes back with 5 o'clock shadow. Next joke.
Stella.
I see. And your last name?
I don't have none. I ain't married.
Oh, you seem to be a little bit nervous.
Well, I'm meeting you for the first time. Gee, you look just like you do in real life.
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Morgan, I'd run over Frankie for you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And now to get on.
Why didn't you answer my letter?
Later. Now for the first question.
Well, you're fatter than Frankie.
That's quite true. Now for the first question.
You're sloppier than Frankie.
That's fun. You now have a dollar.
Answer my letter.
Now, Stella, are you ready for your second question?
Would you mind repeating it, please?
Why?
I love to hear you talk. Gee, Mr. Morgan, I'd rather hear you talk than I don't know what. You give me the goose flesh.
Yes. Now, look, Stella, we have...
Well, why didn't you answer my letter?
Stella, you have $2. What do you want to do?
What Jimmy Eaton skipped the letter.
Thank you very much. Stand by for the jackpot question. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
I have a lady in the balcony, Doctor.
Huh?
She got away.
And now for our next contestant. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
What did you receive on your way into the theater tonight?
A mattress. Can I put it down now?
Certainly.
Thanks. They run out of pencils and they had to give me something.
Oh, of course. Now, Mr.
Gable. Clark Gable.
Clark Gable?
Yeah, I'm the real one. The other ones are phony.
I see. Where are you from, sir?
Why?
Well, I thought it might be interesting for the audience.
What's it their business? They won't clap for me unless I say I'm from Brooklyn.
Well, are you from Brooklyn?
No, the Bronx. See, I told you.
Yeah. For $1, what is the capital of the United States?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm stupid.
Well, tell me, is your wife in the audience?
Yeah.
Remember, Mrs. Gable, no help.
Are you kidding? She's even stupider than me.
Tell me, how long have you two been married?
Married 25 years today.
25? Well, isn't that... Congratulations. How about a little handful?
I hate her.
Yes. Well, to get back to our first question, what is the capital of the United States?
I told you once, I don't know. Kill me.
That's an idea, Mr. Gable. I'll just lie there for the jackpot question. And now we have another...
I have a lady in the balcony, Doctor.
Huh?
But you should have seen the one that got away.
Now for our next contestant. Good evening, sir.
Say, I want you to feel that you can ask me anything. I know all kinds of stuff. I know where bats go in the daytime. I know how to make yogurt. Been married 3 times. Could speak a lot of Choctaw Indian, too. For example, chug-a-lug, chug-a-bong, winnipesaukee, hum-de-todo, and so forth.
What does that mean?
Means I can make my own yogurt.
Well, now, what did you receive on your way in here?
An elbow in the stomach.
Didn't you receive a pencil?
No, they was pushing us in here so fast, and the fella giving them away was pretty slow. He couldn't get the lead out, you know. Say, tell me something.
Well, what would you like to talk about?
Oh, girls?
No, pick a subject from the chart.
Say, speaking of girls, I knew a dilly in Kansas City. Oh, boy, we did have the big times together, I tell you, but it only lasted about 2 years.
Well, what happened?
We got married.
I see. Now, here's your first question.
Wait, I got a swell idea. How'd you like to hear an off-color story?
No, I'm afraid not.
Sure. This traveling salesman, you see, he had...
No, please, for goodness sake, play some music or something.
Well, this traveling salesman... She said to him...
Thank you very much. Now for the jackpot question. I will ask the question. The orchestra will play a number during which you write your answer on a piece of paper. Now, is everybody ready? The question is, who said, don't give up the ship? All right, let's look at these answers. John Paul Jones is wrong. John Paul Jones, that's wrong. John Paul Jones is wrong. Sorry. Better luck next time. The jackpot goes to me. Good night. We are very happy to have had you...
I have a lady in the balcony, Doctor.
Huh?
Oh, it's no lady. It's my wife.
joke was a mistake. Join us again next week. Join us again next week when our special guest will be Sam. Until then, this is Henry Morgan saying,
oh, thanks for the memory.
I'm sorry, that's Hope, isn't it? Good night.
The Henry Morgan Opus came to you by delayed transcription. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
The Henry Morgan Opus comes to you 60, 70 years later by very delayed transcription. September 9th, 1946, that was the second show of his half-hour series. Before that, he was on 15 Minutes both locally in New York for a while and nationally. Arnold Stang did a lot of the comic voices alongside him. Anyway, there you got the showcase of Henry Morgan making fun of Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, and everything else he could think of for that week. So we shall be back with everything else we can think of for next week, which will be an episode of one of my all-time favorite shows, and I'll wait till next week to talk about it, but one of my all-time favorite shows. And we'll be back on Thursday with other all-time favorite shows, so always download and listen to the good old days of radio show. That's your job. My job is to make these programs. Your job is to listen to them. So I'm doing my job. And there's a whole lot of you doing your job. And if you weren't doing your job, you wouldn't be hearing this. So I should not even say anything further. Okay. Goodbye.